Greetings from sunny Vermont. Okay, rainy Vermont. Roger and Emmy are still laughing because the day before they left, we had about 7 or 8 inches of snow up there. Okay, we're all adjusted. Let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 97. By some coincidence, we just sang this in a song. Oh, how I love your law, King David of Israel says, a man after God's own heart. David had a deep and abiding love for God's law. But I think some of us at times have had a little trouble coming up to that sort of sentiment. I'd like to give you something today that may help us with that. I'm going to start out with a little story. It's a fictional story. I speak unto you a parable. But it's a story about a young fellow who has taken a few lessons on the piano and has decided he wants to be a concert pianist. And he has an idol. He has a friend. Well, let's just call this young man Joey. And he has a man that he looks up to greatly, a local virtuoso who has now gone on a concert tour around the world and has just come back, and he's about to give a concert in his hometown. And his parents have offered to take Joey to this concert. Now let's call this maestro, this virtuoso, David Falkenstein. I don't know, every great concert pianist seems to have a German-sounding name, so I just came up with that. So Joey and his parents go to hear Maestro Falkenstein. And what a performance. He gives a tremendous performance, has them clapping and cheering and asking for more. Does a great job on maybe a Beethoven sonata, Schubert impromptu, and an etude by Chopin. Well, afterwards, there's a reception line, as there usually is when an artist gives a great performance like that. And Joey's parents offer to take him up to meet his idol. And they ask him, now, would you like to try to get his autograph? And Joey says, well, I'm not really that big into autographs, but I do have one question I'd like to ask him. So they stand in line, and gradually the line goes forward, and eventually he gets to meet and shake hands with his idol, and he says, his question is, how can I become like you? How can I become a great concert pianist like you are? Is it possible I could study with you? Well, this maestro only has 2 or 3 students, and they're all pretty advanced. They're near adults. But he does agree to let Joey come and audition and get some idea of, you know, whether he thinks he has the potential talent or not. So they agree on a time and a place, and Joey comes and plays the couple of compositions that the maestro puts down for him to play, and doesn't do a perfect job, but shows some potential. So the maestro agrees to take him on. So in the next few weeks, until he's going to go out on his next concert tour, he gives Joey several things. He gives him the tools that he needs. He gives him some verbal pointers on how to play this keyboard a little bit better. He gives him some written exercises to work on. And he gives him some compositions that are maybe just a little bit above his level of achievement, but giving him enough of a challenge to give him something to work on. In short, he gives Joey all the tools he needs. Now, on an ongoing basis, he'll be coming back and performing for him from time to time and being evaluated, but he gives Joey the tools that he needs, and now all Joey has to do is what? Practice. 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 And more practice. You know, you and I are a lot like Joey. Only what we aspire to is a little bit different. It's a much greater calling, actually, than becoming a great concert pianist, as noble an achievement and aspiration as that is. Let's turn to Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and verse 19. What God has put the human race on the earth for, and what he has called you and me in particular in this life for, we read in verse 19 a clue here. My little children, of whom I am laboring in pain, until Christ has been formed in you. Turn over a few pages to Ephesians 4. And we get this elaborated on just a little further. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. What we are called for is so much higher calling than any possible physical, secular vocation that someone might aspire to. As wonderful and great as some of those vocations may be, whether it's to be a great scientist or a fantastic musician, whatever else it might be. What you and I are called to is so much greater than that, there's no comparison. We are called to develop, that is, to be an active participant while God develops in each one of us the very nature, the very character of His Son Jesus Christ in us. And we're like Joey in the sense that God has given us the tools. Our master, our teacher, Jesus Christ, has given us the tools. They're contained in here, in the Word of God. And one of the core chief parts of those tools, if I can use that term, is His whole teaching regarding His law, His commandments, and His precepts, including and maybe especially those things that He taught His disciples, not only in the Sermon on the Mount, but all the other things that He told His disciples from time to time. At one point, Jesus Christ was asked, "What is the greatest and first law?" What did he say? Let's turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. After the young lawyer asked him, "What is the greatest commandment of the law?" Christ's answer was, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Every law, every precept, every statute that God has given is a reflection of His very character. And it is summed up in one word. And you know what that word is. 1 John 4:8. God is love. We've been given the tools to develop in us the character, the nature of Jesus Christ, which is summed up in the word love, love for neighbor, and love for God. And all these various laws and precepts, rather than being a burden of duties that we have to carry out, if we can learn to look at them as tools, like Joey was given those tools that were going to help him become a great concert pianist, if we can look at God's laws and teachings of Jesus Christ and of the prophets and of the apostles, everything that we find from one end to the other of this God's Word as the tools, as the way toward that goal that we're all working toward, that we're striving for, of becoming like Jesus Christ, we can grow to love God's law a whole lot more, I think. And not only that, but it will give us perhaps a little different way of explaining to some of our friends who ask us, "Hey, if you think you're under grace, what are you doing keeping all these commandments?" Well, maybe if you can explain to them and say, "Hey, these are tools. These are tools for Christian growth. This is the way we grow. We learn these laws and then we do what? Practice, practice, practice. We live them in our lives." When God gives us what He gives us by His grace, His Holy Spirit at conversion, what are we supposed to do with it? Leave it or build on it? We build on it, don't we? And this is the tool. These are the tools that the teachings, the precepts, yes, the laws and the commandments of God are the tools by which, as we practice, as we put them in our lives, and as we live them, we grow day by day in a lifetime process more like our teacher and our master that we are looking to, Jesus Christ, our Savior and the Father.
They were able to do that because they did what? Practice, practice, practice. And happy to see you, because through the years, you get taller, voices develop, and whereas Marlon had to do the total bass, one of his sons was right there with him this time. Right on. Okay, appreciate it. Now, during the conference, we talked about healing, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, all of those. So you'll be getting a longer message on that pretty soon. But along with that, like to mention again that Jim Hiles has remained cancer-free now for over 2 years, or right at 2 years. And since he first came down with it, we have been spending a good amount of time doing research and things like that. And because not only is cancer a very difficult situation, many people suffer from it, and many people don't know why they suffer from it. And sometimes, before they even find out anything about it, it's already developed to the stage where, like with Wayne Stenhouse, when he first found out about it a year ago, July. No, 2 years ago, July. 2 years ago, July. Yeah. They told him, go home, you're going to die in 2 weeks. And whatever was able to be done concerning the diets and the physical things, he did the best he could. Some of the circumstances involved physically, we don't know the background or so forth, but it was highly developed at that point. And you look around, you understand that just in America alone, they've contributed $2 trillion to cancer research, and they're no closer to healing than they were the day that they started. And in many cases, they're closer to killing more from the treatment. And so there are a lot of things out there. There are a lot of difficulties and problems. And also, as I mentioned in the conference, one of the most difficult things that I think was really a betrayal of faith and temerity was that they turned the brethren over to the medical doctors. Now, the medical doctors can help us. We all need medical doctors from time to time. They can help us in different things, but they do not have all the answers. And through the years, there have been many other researches going on toward many diseases, especially cancer and diabetes. So Jim has made it his avocation to do research on cancer. And he's got some information here in a booklet. So if Gene and John, Gene and Ben, if you could kind of pass those out, one per family. It's called Taking Charge of Your Health. And I think it's very important that you do, because Obama ain't a gonna. No. He wants to increase his power by letting all of us old fogies die off. So we're going to fool them. Okay? Yeah, there are quite a few there. And I think Jim Hiles for putting this together. This is taken from the book, which is a very interesting book. And on the website, they allow you to download the first chapter and some other things here, talking about some of the cancer cures and some of the things that have. And this is a lot of it. There are some newsletters here that you can read. If you're online, go online and study it. Go online and look at it, you know. And I encourage you that if you're overweight, and if you have a hard time seeing your shoes, then maybe you better go online. You better look at some things on bodily cleanses, colon cleanse, kidney cleanse, things like this, because it just tells you there are a lot of toxins in your body, and pretty soon those toxins get so much, and then, bam, They knock you dead, or nearly dead. So I think it would be wise physically for everyone to consider that, because it's something that you have to take charge of yourself. And I think that if we follow what the Bible says, God's desire is that we be in health. So we need to do all we can physically to watch our health and what we eat. Because there are two things that are true. You are what you eat, and you are what you think, and combine that together, that is your health. Now, there are natural weaknesses, there are natural strength, there are inherited things, and all of this goes along with it. But here is a book. Now, Jim Hiles did a very commendable job in doing a lot of researching last year that we passed out concerning cancer and some of the things that he found at that time. But let me tell you, there's so much more research that has been done and accomplished since then. And how many here are on the internet? Okay. You can get a lot of the information that you need on the internet. And you can find doctors close at hand, like Nancy Parker did. She found some close at hand to help her out with her situation because the chemo was killing her. That's the idea. And I know our neighbor across the street, he had many difficult diseases, came down with cancer, and he'd go get his chemo. He'd be all right for a while. I think he went along about 6 months, and he was, you know, doing fairly well. Bang, it hit him again. They gave him a stronger chemo. And the last time he came, he went to the hospital, we knew that was it. Because all the chemo that he had taken made him look like he was charred, charbroiled. Now, it doesn't take a brain to look at that and just common sense and put it two and two together. If you're going to cook him to death, how can you heal him? See? We need to think about that. And the medical doctors have the whole population scared stiff. Oh, you got to see your doctor. You got to see your doctor. I mean, look at every ad for medication on television. Consult your doctor, consult your doctor, consult your doctor. Well, the truth is, all of us need to know about our bodies, know how they work, how they function, and how we feel, and what our bodies are telling us. We have to learn that. So there's a lot of information. There are a lot of books, like I mentioned during the conference, that I've read about 10 books on health and healing and cancer and so forth. So there's a lot. But here's a book I didn't read. Jim found it, and this contains 10 times more information than Jim was able to compile on his own in searching out how to take care of his cancer. It's called, you can see it on the inside of the pamphlet that he had here, several pages in. It's called Cancer, Step Outside the Box. And then he has some of the things from the foreword, some of the testimonials about it. He's got the table of contents, and then he has one chapter in here, and that should help you a lot. Now, like anything else, we are taught that there is one silver bullet for every sickness. Not so. Our bodies are very complicated. Our bodies are affected by our thoughts, every cell in our body. Our bodies are affected by what we eat. And there are 80,000 toxins in the way of additives and poisons and chemicals in the environment, in the water, and in the food that were not there 100 years ago. So we can be very sensitive to those things. So now that we have a lot of this information on the internet, spend some time on the internet. Download the newsletters. Read what they have. Think about how you feel. Read about what they say or some of the symptoms that you will have. Find out whether you need herbs. Find out whether you need supplements. You're going to have to gauge that yourself. See? Now, medical doctors can help, but so can homeopaths, so can naturopaths, so can herbalists. And a lot of people get upset because of the far-out things that some of the naturalists do and some of these weird Chinese practices that they have, which you should get upset about it because those things are not good. But very few people get upset about the weird practices of the medical profession and some of the things that they do. You can say on the one hand, the first case, that's demonic. Well, are body part transfers demonic? Are killing people in hospitals demonic? They kill more people in hospitals than they do with natural therapies. And yet no one condemns the allopathic doctors, but everybody condemns everyone else who's not in the box with them. So, you know, we need to think about it. And you'll hear some things that I said about my own health. I came to the point that I had to make up my mind, Fred, what are you going to do about yourself? You going to take care of yourself or not? So maybe you need to ask yourself that question. Because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He will lead us and guide us, but He has given us the responsibility to take care of ourselves. That should help you a lot. And if you can get any of these books, go online, look at the books, read them. I've read this. Change your brain, change your life. Make a good brain great. Who stole my brain? Ultimate mind solution. How's your mind? How's your stomach? Because the gut and stomach work together. And they found out that a lot of the things that go on in your gut are because of your emotions, which stir up the whole hormonal system in your body in a way that makes it dump toxins into your bloodstream just as surely as if you were taking some of the additives that they put in the water and the foods and you were going mainline with those. And they know this, that if anger, hatred, jealousy, and all these things in the back of your mind and you don't forgive and you let these things work and work and work and work and work, you have problems with husband and wife and you're fighting back and forth and jabbing each other verbally and arguing about things all the time and you don't have peace with yourself. All those things upset you and these upsets, putting all of those toxins in your system over the years, begin to wear down your system and then bam. And then you add on top of that, everything that you have suffered spiritually and emotionally from the problems within the church. The church should be the gathering of the brethren in peace and love and harmony. It should not be a center of politics, strife, tale-bearing, condemnation. Sermons and teaching should be to help and inspire the brethren, not beat them up verbally and abuse them and send them home in fear. That adds to the sickness. Now we know right now there are things going on in the churches of God, that those things are being repeated again. And so what's going to happen? Many people are going to get a double dose of spiritual death, and it's going to affect them. And unless they get right with God, and begin to take care of themselves, we're going to see another epidemic of cancer, diabetes, colon upset, mental and emotional torment, arguing and fighting back and forth among each other. See? That won't work, brethren. That's why we need to pray. Pray for each other every day. Pray for the churches of God. Pray that God will deal with them and bring them to repentance. I mean, look, it's a pitiful thing when you think that God has called us to preach to the world the way of God and the gospel, and we're a pitiful, sad lot, weak, beaten, sick. Now, we may be the weak of the world, that's true. But I think with God's Spirit and God's help, He will bless us so that can be turned around. Why should we suffer anymore? Why should we go along with our stupidity and blindness and as the world does, you know? Why should that be? Now that there's this information out there, lots of it. If you start going online and looking at those things, it will blow your mind how much is out there. Okay? So I implore you, please do that. Please, please. That's of the utmost importance. And when you get the sermon and study that we did at the elders' conference, I want you to take that. And I want you to think about that. I want you to go over the scriptures. I want you to pray about it. I want you to examine your life. I want you to go back in your life and ask God to help you root out that sin that's clear back there in the secret part of your mind that is still polluting your thoughts and is still causing you troubles. I mean, we've got enough just getting along day to day, don't we, without having all of that drag us down, right? Yes. So please do so. Okay.